Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We're now in Masechet Beitzah, Daf Yod Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah, which is the second half of Mishnah Gimel, continuing with our exploration of the viability or the permissibility of taking Yonim, doves, out of a dove coat on Yom Tov. We already saw this Mishnah reference in the previous Sugyah. Bechamai said you cannot take it unless you have shaken it up before, meaning actually physically held it on Erev Yom Tov and identified it as a bird you're going to take. Otherwise, it's Muktzah, V'etol Amim, Omed V'omer, Zev V'zeh, Ani Notel. You could just stand there and point to it and say, I'm going to take this and that one. Aruchanan Barami. This is the first take of Aruchanan Barami. Machloket V'richavi Shara. The Machloket is about the first set of Yonim that are born to the doves. He said, we're concerned that you might then change your mind and keep them, put them back, and then you took them for naught. Tell us, Savi, look, Gazrina, we don't make such a gzerah. But if it's this after the, anyone after those, Beit Shammai agreed to Beit Hillel that if you just stand there and point to it and say, that's the one I want, it's enough. Now, according to Beit Hillel, why do you have to say, I'm going to take this one and that one, and point to the specific chicks? Why don't you just say, I'm going to take from this area, from this dovecote? You might suggest, because Beit Hillel doesn't accept the principle of Breira, of retroactive designation. But no, that's not true. If you have a mate in a house, and there's a lot of doors, all the doorways are considered tamei because they're all viable exit routes for the mate. If let's say that one of them gets opened up, now all the rest become tahor. If you intended to take him out one way, or through a window that's big enough for the shear of tuma passing through, that then spares all of the other ptachim from becoming tamei, your decision. Beit Shammai said that's only if you intended to use that door before the man actually died. Beit Hillel say, even after he died, which means that Beit Hillel accepts retroactive designation. So why can't we do that with our birds? The answer is, that Beit Hillel's leniency was only to allow any tuma that goes through those doors after your decision protected, but not retroactively. That would then answer our problem. So Beit Hillel does not accept Breira. Rav Amar li olam l'mafreya. Rav says, no, Beit Hillel means l'mafreya. Retroactive designation. Beit Hillel here has a different reason. Maybe you're going to go up there on Yom Tov and you're going to pick up one bird, put it down, pick up another bird and put it down, which means you're picking up something that's not fit for you, because the reason you put it down was because it's not a fit bird to eat. And therefore you have to select them specifically, one by one, on Erev Yom Tov. But didn't you say that standing there pointing them is good enough? The answer is, Hanimili mi Erev Yom Tov. That you could do Erev Yom Tov, and we don't care what you do Erev Yom Tov. Well, Yom Tov asur. You can't go up there and start selecting them on Yom Tov, because the ones that look fat might turn out to be skinny or vice versa. And again, you're picking something up that is not fit for you. Or you might find that they're all weak, meaning you didn't check it before Yom Tov, you went up and found them all to be emaciated. And you leave them about Yom Tov, and then you don't have any meat for Yom Tov, so you better check it before Yom Tov. Alright, the next Mishnah. It's an interesting piece because this deals with issues of Chazakah and how we determine whether or not where something found came from. We'll see. Let's say you picked black birds, and then when you come to the dove coat, you find white ones. Levadim matzah shchorim, vice versa. Shnayim matzah shlosha, or you pick two. You come back and you find that there's three in that dove coat, asurim. Shlosha matzah shnayim, if you pick three, and now you find two, and they're mutarim, then they're mutar. Betocha ken matzah lefnei haken, if you pick them inside the nest and found them in front of the nest, asurim, they're asur. Because we assume they're different birds. Vim ein sham elohim, or ein mutarim, but if those are the only birds there, then they're mutar. Yeah. Pshita, it should be obvious, with the black and white, clearly. You pick black ones, and there's white ones, they're not the ones you picked. Why would it be mutar? So, you actually pick black and white ones, and they were in different corners of the dove coat. And you found that they were now in the opposite corners. I might argue that these are all the same birds. They just switch sides. Kamash Malan, therefore, teaches us Hanach Azdul Alma. We assume that the birds that were there left. These are other birds that came in, and that's why they're in the opposite corners. This seems to support Rabbi Chanina, who in the second parak of Abatra says, Rov v'karov halech achar harov. When you have two determining factors to identify where something came from, then specifically in the case of birds, one is the weight of majority, and the other is the weight of proximity. So he says that you follow Rov. So, for instance, if you have a dovecote that's closer and another dovecote that has way more birds in it that's further away, and you find a bird closer to the smaller one, then, according to him, it would belong to the one with the big, more birds, even though it's further away. So the answer is, not necessarily. Later on, we'll see that Abaye recommends that another piece of this be interpreted as the birds are sitting on a ledge that's outside of the dovecote. So that's the case here. Once they're on the ledge, then we don't assume at all that they are from the same that they are on this from the same dove coat. If they were out there, they could have flown away, and that's where other birds will come to coop. Now, why is it that if you pick two and you come back and find three there, they're asur? The answer is very simple. Manavshach, either way. If there are three other birds, then there are other birds. You didn't pick them. If they're not, then hayikachad demarbu. But one of them is certainly not one of the ones you picked, and it's mixed in, and you don't know which one it is. Okay, shlosha matzashnai mutarin. So if you pick three, and then you come back and find two, they're mutar. My tama, why? Hani inu ninu. The answer is because these are the same birds you picked. V'chad minai wazalama, and one of them left. So lima nitin Rebbe hivu rabbanan. It sounds like this supports Rebbe's position on minimized fines, as we'll see, and not rabbanan. D'tanya. We have this breita in the context of maaser sheni money. You had $100, let's say, or maneh, worth of maaser sheni coins, and you found 200. Chulin maaser sheni ravins of azed avirai. Rebbe says the original 100 is there, and the other 100 is chulin. And now you gotta treat it all like maaser sheni, but value-wise, 100. Chum say, no, this is all a different 200, your 100 is lost, and this is all chulin. Here's closer to our case. You left 200 and found 100. Maneh munach, maneh mutal. The Rebbe says that this original maneh is your maneh munach of maaser sheni, and another maneh is gone. Chamor mevakochlin. Chamor say no. All 200 got taken away, and another 100 of chulin got put there. So it sounds like our Mishnah supports Rebbe, because otherwise, according to Chachamim, we would think that if you picked three birds and found two, that would mean the three all left, and these are two other birds, just like with the money. The answer is no. Afilu temer rabbanan. You could even argue that our Mishnah follows rabbanan. Hayit mar alam reyachon rabbelazar mitavayu. They commented on the brayta saying shani goes alo tovil vasuyot litadot. That the difference between our Mishnah and this case is this case of coins, but birds, specifically chicks, do have a tendency to walk around. So therefore, it could be that the three chicks are there, and one of them kind of walked away. Coins don't walk away. So therefore, if somebody picked up the coins, they probably picked up all the coins. And that's what Chachamim say, whatever's there now is different and is chulin. Why do I need to even use that answer? V'hayit ma'ala da'ahid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar. We had a comment about Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar's comment on the Braita, on the Mishnah. Chara ma'rishtei kisin machloket, in the Braita, sorry. That the machloket, Rabbi and Chachamim, is only if the money is in two separate pouches. Ha'makisachad v'erkoh chulin. If it's one pouch, where you had 200 and you find now 100, everybody agrees that's chulin. Chara ma'makisachad machloket. The other one said, no, the machloket's only if it's in one pouch. V'shnei kisin, it's two separate pouches. D'erkoh manem unach manem mutal. Everybody would agree that the one pouch that's gone is the one pouch that remains is still Maaser Sheni pouch. The other Maaser Sheni pouch is gone. So, Bisman the Majnaki is in Machloket, according to the one who says that the Machloket is if there's two separate pouches. Then we have a problem with the single pouch that everybody agrees it's all chulin, and here we say that it's our original birds, so we have to then explain the difference between the birds that walk away and the money that doesn't walk away on its own. But according to the position, it says the machloket is in one pouch. But when it's in two separate pouches, everybody agrees that the pouch that's left is original money. What do I need to explain? After all, that jibes well with our Mishnah. I don't need to explain the difference in birds and coins. Because everybody agrees that in Shnei Kisin, it's all the original piece, what's left. We're talking about chicks that are tied to each other and pouches that are tied to each other. Gozalot menatchi adadi. Chicks can undo their knot a little bit and wriggle out of it. Kisin lo menatchi adadi, but pouches aren't going to do that because they don't have an individual will or the ability to move. If somebody took it, then of course it's a whole different game. For Rebbe Amalach, so why would Rebbe then say Bishneki that it's the original money? Kisinami zimnin demit akil kitrayu. He said even with kisim, sometimes the knot comes apart by itself, it unravels, and therefore the one kis might be taken without the other. Okay, but tochakem asalif neakein asurin. We said in the Mishnah that if you pick them inside the nest and you find them in front of the nest, they're asur. Same thing with following the rov. And here's where Rabbi originally said, Badaf. Here, you didn't find them just in front of the cane. You found them on this ledge where all sorts of birds come to roost. He said, no, we're talking about two nests, one above the other. Certainly in the case where there were originally birds in both, and you picked birds in the lower one, and not in the upper one. And you found them in the lower one, but there was nothing left in the upper one. The Asiran, they're also why. The Amrinan Hanach Azul Alma, the ones that were originally picked in the lower one left. Hanach Ishtabuvi Ishtabuvi Nachud, and these other ones found their way and kind of climbed down into the lower one. Alafilu's Mamel Yonam's the only Tachtona. Flip it. There were birds in both. You picked birds from the upper one. And you came back and there were now only birds in the upper one. Hanach Nami Asir, they're also Asir, Damrin and Hanach Azlama, the original upper ones left. Hanach Sruchi Sari Chusliku, and these ones climbed their way up into the upper one. Okay, Ve'in Ein Sham Elahain, Hare Eilu Mutarin. So the end of the Mishnah was, if there's only these birds, and now you find them in front, they're Mutar. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ela Mufurachin, if these are chicks that already fly, Kaler Hanach Azlama, Hanayach Ridininu. We could say that ours flew away, and these are new ones. Ella, because of the fact that there were only two originally, so what? Ella medadin. It must be chicks that are still walking. But if there's another nest within 50 amah, they'll walk to it. That's what we say. If there is nothing within 50 amot, then obviously the mutar, these are the only ones that are around. These chicks could not have walked from more than 50 amot away. Chicks that walk don't walk more than 50 amot. So if there's nothing within 50 amot, these chicks couldn't have come from anywhere else because they're walkers. And they're for the original ones. And if there is something within 50 amot, then maybe they came from another one. So the answer is the olam deika came into 50 amot. We're talking about a case where it is within 50. Chagon de kaima bekeren zavit. But it's around the corner. Meaning it's not visible from the original, nest. Mao de tem aduduye adadu. I might think that they walked. Kamash falan ko echa medadu v'hara chazi lekine medadu. It only walks if it can turn around and see its original nest. If not, it won't walk away from its nest. Okay, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Dalad, Mishnah Hey. It's actually the second half of Mishnah, the Mishnayot and the Mishnayot and the Gemara are not in the same order. But Shemayim ain't limita eli lekasev alav asar. You cannot take a mortar to cut meat on it because it's a klishim lachto leisur. Vetilam matirin, they allow it. But Shemayim ain't limita or lifnei dursan. You cannot put a pelt in front of the one who's going to mat it down. Veloy beno, you can't pick it up and can't yeshimo kazaid basar unless there's some meat on it, kazaid of meat to allow you to pick it up. And not muksa vetilal matirin, they permit. Now, Tana v'shavin shim kitzev alav basar. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that if you already used it to cut meat, which means you're not cutting meat on anymore, shasor the tatalo, now it has no more legitimate use on Yom Tov. It's used for crushing, which is not what's on Yom Tov. Abaye machloket ba'ili. The machloket's only about a pisal. But tabara garmi, but a bone breaker, when it's only used for breaking meat, tifra kol mutar, certainly is mutar. Pshita elitnan. Of course, because the Mishnah says ili. I might think it applies even to a bone cracker. Like a cleaver. Maybe Eli was there to show you Beit Hillel. Even a kli, they would allow for using to cut meat on. Kamash Malan, that wasn't the purpose, and it's only Eli that there's the dispute about. He said, no, it's even there to teach you about a new bone crusher. You might pick it up and then say, nah, I'm not going to use it because it's new. Kamash Malan, that we're not concerned. Aren't Beit Shammai concerned with that sort of thing? That you might change your mind? You don't take a knife towards the behemah, or the behemah to the shochet and the knife. You can bring them to each other. You can't bring spices and a crusher to the spice crusher, or vice versa. And the assumption here is that Beit Shammai thinks you may carry it over and then change your mind, and then you carried it for no reason. You violated muktzah for no reason. Is that really the case? With an animal, you might change your mind. This animal is not so fat. I'll get a fatter one. Even with a pot, you might change your mind. This one needs spices. I'll have another pot that's got good food and it doesn't need spices. So you might change your mind. Here, what are you going to do? You're not going to break the bones and cut up this meat? If you already shechted the meat, obviously, you want to eat it, and therefore, that's what it's there for. Okay. Now to the second part of the Mishnah, which is about putting the pelt in front of the race. You're allowed to salt meat on top of this pelt, even though you're salting the pelt, which is part of tanning. That's only if you're going to do it for roasting. Not for putting in a pot. The Brita says only litzli. Even if it's for roasting, like you would do in a pot, it's asur. Meaning, only the amount of salt you put on for roasting itself. We don't salt chalev, and we don't turn them over on the fire. If this is from an animal that we shechted on Yom Tov, we're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, because we're not going to be eating this. But they smell bad, so you could put them in front of the wind, on top of little sticks. Ramatna lachak rishua, that's how we rule. Ikadam ramatna ain lachak rishua. There's another version which says we don't rule that way. That I needed. I would think to a paskin like the majority against Rabbi Yeshua, kamash malan halachak Rabbi Yachid. But if you say ain halachak Rabbi Yeshua, that version of Ramatna, what's the point of saying that? Yachid ramalachak Rabim. It's already Rabim versus the individual. Of course we rule like the Rabim. Because Rabbi Yeshua's reasoning is good. If you don't allow him to do that, he won't be shochet, because then he's going to have this smelly stuff around. Kamash malan, that we still don't accept Rabbi Yeshua. My shami or lifnei adursan, but why is that any different than putting the ore in front of the guy who's going to smash it down? The answer is hatam lo mucha milta. There, it's not obvious what you're doing. Because you're going to lie down on it, so it's not muktzah. Here the guy will say, why did the rabbanon allow me to put this fat up in the air? So it won't smell. So what's the difference between laying it out in the sun or salting it? And then you'll end up salting this thing, which is muktzah. You could salt a bunch of meat at one time, even though you only need one. He would play a trick and he would salt one bone or one piece of meat at a time, and he would say, you know what? He salted this one, and then he'd say, you know what? I like that one more, and I like that one more. And that way he had a chance to salt all his meat, and that would, of course, work for preserving it. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next Mishnah, which is really the earlier part of Mishnah Hey. Our next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.